Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Schaeffler India Limited Q2 CY 2023 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Gauri Kanikar. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining Schaeffler India Limited's earnings conference call for the second quarter and six months ended 30th June 2023. We have with us from the management today Mr. Harsha Kadam, our Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Satish Patel, our Director of Finance and Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Kadam will first take us through a short presentation on the results, after which we will open the floor for questions. Over to you, Mr. Kadam.
Yeah. Good morning. Good morning to all my investor friends. Welcome you to this earnings call today of quarter two 2023. Let me take you through the presentation first, and I would appreciate and request you to refer to slide number two. Today I would be taking you through the economy and industry, throw some light on the business, how did we do in the second quarter and six months ending 2023. After which I would take you through the financial highlights for the same period, and then talk a little bit about our future drive towards ESG and what we are doing there. I move to slide number three now. Let me start by talking a little bit about the economic situation, and we believe India still remains a bright spot in the world economy. All the necessary appropriate indicators are showing that we are on a good track as one of the fastest developing economy in the world. Six months back, IMF had issued a GDP of 5.9% for India, which got revised two days back to 6.1%. The World Bank still holds the GDP for India at 6.3%. When you look at one other important indicator, which is the foreign direct investments that are coming in, we have record inflows of FDIs coming in the last two quarters. Of course, in the second quarter, there was a bit of a drop, but nevertheless, it is still at an all-time high. What we are seeing is also the clear focus and drive by the government in the areas of Make in India, or be it the PM Gati Shakti projects or the extension of the PLI schemes into other sectors, even enabling the exports to go up, as well as liberalizing the FDI norms. So we see all reforms happening on all the fronts. So that said, we believe that the strong growth would continue in India. I would now throw light on the automotive production. Please pardon me for the misrepresentation of the bar graph there. While what we are showing is the percentage over the same quarter last year, the way it has been visually represented is incorrect, so pardon me for that. What you see in the automotive growth as well, we had some mixed bags. When you look at the passenger vehicle segment, while the segment as a whole in Q2 was down 6%, compared to the preceding quarter, but it was up 7% compared to the same period last year. Commercial vehicles, on the other hand, too, which was down 13% over the preceding quarter, actually has slowed down a bit. It was down -2% when compared to the same quarter last year. Some recovery we are able to see is in the two-wheeler sector, where, over the preceding quarter, we have seen a 12% jump in production of two-wheelers, and it remains flat at the same level as Q2 of 2022. talk about the index of industrial production, and what we see is good growth in the cement production, steel production in the country, obviously riding on the back of the infrastructure drive and push, which the government is clearly focused and investing in. That said, cement production grew almost 6.2% compared to the same period last year. Steel production grew in double digits at 12% over last year. And coal production, well, is lower than the preceding quarter, but definitely strong growth of 11% compared to the same period last year. Power generation, on the other hand, for the first quarter end and the beginning month of the second quarter was down. However, we have seen some uptick in the month of May. June numbers are still to come in here. So the core industries grew in Q2 was 4.3% growth that it has registered across the country, and a half yearly level at about 5.9% growth is what we are seeing. I move to the next slide, which is throwing light on the automotive sector performance. And here what would you would see is the idea. I just talked about the two and three wheelers. As you can see, the two and three wheelers have been having a flattish growth rates when compared to the last year same period. Commercial vehicles are 2.4% compared to the same period last year, and passenger vehicles still showing a 10% growth over the same period last year. Tractors, on the other hand, still remains at about 9% on comparative levels. So we have seen some softening in the commercial vehicle sector owing to the price increases that have been initiated in the marketplace, as well as the technology changes pertaining to the BS6 phase 2, which have been implemented. I move to slide number 6, and which is where I'll be talking a little bit on the business highlights. Let me take you through to slide number 7, which gives the summary of our performance in the second quarter. To sum it up, in the second quarter, automotive technologies continue to show a strong growth of business despite some subdued market conditions in some of the sectors. We've also seen a strong growth in our automotive aftermarket on the back of more network penetration that we have done, as well as our expansion of our product portfolios that we have seen. On the other hand, industrial growth, industrial business, we have seen some uptick in some of the sectors, particularly wind, which has been languishing. We have seen some recoveries in the month of June in terms of demand coming back pretty strongly. And we have seen some uptick even in the two-wheeler sectors, which has helped the industrial business continue on its growth path. We also continue on our journey of investments into our plants in terms of capacity expansions. So we recently inaugurated the Savli Hall 2, wherein we will be bringing in more localization of more products that are going to happen in this plant as well as a Hosur Greenfield project, which continues and is progressing well. We have seen also some good demand on the domestic business in terms of some of these sectors. Even the raw material sectors have seen a pretty strong demand uptick there. While our own exports, we saw some moderation coming in due to the situation in Europe, as is prevalent today. On the journey of ESG, we have started on this journey, and while we are on this journey, we are now getting recognitions, which I will share in a while, on some of the projects, one in particular being the water conservation projects, which we have started to now initiate across other locations as well. So all in all, we had a challenging second quarter, but I must say that we have managed the businesses pretty well in terms of securing the low-hanging wins, as well as at the same time, we look forward to the second half, where we believe that it's still going to be some sluggishness in terms of global demand, but the domestic demand uptick, if it were to sustain, we would be in a better position here as well. So to sum it up, on the sales growth, we were able to bring in 1,829 crores onto the top line, which is 4.6% higher than the previous quarter of same quarter of the previous year, and 8% better than the preceding quarter of this year. That resulted in an EBIT margin of 294 crores coming into the system, and we have been able to sustain and hold the EBIT margin at 16%, which is at the same level as the Q2 of last year. This led to a profit after tax margin of 13%, bringing in 237 crores, and it remains at the same level in terms of the percentage of margin that has come into the system. Talk about the free cash flow. This was one of the strongest quarter for us, where we were able to bring in 109 crores into the system in this quarter, which is comparatively higher, almost 37% better than the same quarter last year, and compared to preceding quarter. The preceding quarter was a very low quarter, which you'll see in the next slide as I move to slide number 8. On slide number 8, I also want to highlight that our sustained good performance is the result of our strong customer engagement activities in terms of business identification and business conversions that we stay focused on along the year. So just to throw light on some of them, in the automotive technology area, we have been able to secure new business wins for the passenger vehicles, for the wheel bearings on some of the new models that are getting launched, as well as some of the light vehicle clutch systems and the medium and heavy commercial vehicles, heavy-duty clutch systems, where we have secured beyond 280-millimeter dia clutch businesses, which we have resulted into series productions starting off going forward now. On the automotive aftermarket front as well, the recently launched battery for the two-wheeler market, which was introduced, we have now started to expand the reach of this product across the breadth of the country. We have gone into now launching it into two other states as well. In addition to that, of course, we have started to add on new products conforming to the BS6 norms as the vehicles are coming to a maturity level for vehicle parts replacement. And we also look forward and continue to penetrate into new markets as well as bring in more new products as we see enough opportunity in the automotive aftermarket space. Talking of the industrial business, here again, we have secured quite a few business wins, be it in the railway sector or be it in the packaging machinery sector, or some of it is also in the robotics sector that we are able to secure. Not too left far behind, we have also secured bearing businesses in the electric two-wheeler segments as well. So that said, our focus in working with our customers at an early stage, getting involved at an early stage, engaging with them right through the development process continues. Moving on, I move to slide number 9, just to throw light on the two-wheelers battery that we introduced under the Schaeffler Trooper brand. We have focused a lot on bringing out performance, you know, and value creation for our end users, as well as at the same time, we have made sure it brings in longer life in terms of the technology that we have used, in terms of the purity levels of the contents that go into battery making, as well as long life terminals that are one of the most corrosive regions within a battery. We have been able to focus on ensuring that we offer a better, superior product with better performance quality as well. I move to slide number 10 to throw some light on the expansion of the industrial production capacity at Savli. And we have added another 10,000 square meters of production space additional. The picture on the right, which is encircled, is the new building that was inaugurated in the month of June. And the hall is now ready and to receive the machineries which have started to flow in. Some of the key processes that we are investing in are the heat treatments and the grinding processes, as well as we are focusing on sectors such as the wind energy, heavy industries, and the railway sector. So products that we are going to manufacture here is going to cater to these three sectors. Some of the products are the spherical roller bearings and also the taper roller bearings which would be made in this product, in this new hall that we have just inaugurated. That said, I move to the financial highlights now and throw some light. I would move to slide number 12. So as I did mention, the total revenue generation in the second quarter of this year was 1,829 crores, and which was an 8% better than the preceding quarter and 4.6% better than the same quarter last year. Now, where did this come from? I draw your attention to the right side of the chart, wherein our year-on-year growth was backed by good domestic demand, and the automotive technologies, as you have seen, or compared to the last year, grew almost by 10.3%. And the automotive aftermarket, we were able to deliver almost close to 24% growth compared to last year, whereas the industrial was down minus 2.3, fundamentally contributed by the slowdown in the wind segment in the Q4 of last year and Q1 of this year. And our exports, as I already said, have softened and moderated and was down by minus 3.5%. However, when you look at the six-month picture compared to the same period 6 months last year, our automotive technology business, we have still posted 15% better than the same period last year, and the automotive aftermarket was 21% better than the same period last year, while industry was down 5% and export was up 3%. I draw your attention to the revenue bridge now, and the last year in the same quarter of Q2, we brought in 1,749 crores onto the top line. But this quarter, as I said, we have brought in 1,829 crores. If I were to look at the split of where the revenue generation has happened, 697 million rupees or 69.7 crores came in from the auto tech space. The automotive aftermarket bought in 35 crores, and industrial is still down marginally, and export is down marginally. We have always been saying that, you know, our beautiful balance between the industrial and the automotive space helps us to manage to post better performances, to rejig our strategies going forward as well. And you see it again here with automotive technologies contributing 41% of the sales make, industrial cost contributing 34%, export contributing 15%, and automotive aftermarket contributing 10% of the sales mix. I move to slide number 13, and here I would like to talk about the quality of our earnings. And I must say that in spite of a challenging quarter, with some of the macroeconomic situations, headwinds that we were facing, our earnings quality still remained resilient, and we were able to show that resilience in our performance. So just to throw light on the EBIT, the EBIT we brought in the second quarter was 294 crores, which was definitely 8.7% better than the preceding quarter, wherein we had brought in only 274 crores. And as you can see, compared year on the same period last year, 7.3% growth, resulting in an EBIT margin of 16.1%, which is definitely better when compared to the Q2 of last year, which was at 15.7%. So where did the EBIT margins come from? And when you look at the bridge below, you will find the volume development or the increase in our sales revenue contributed almost 56 crores to the bottom line. And we did have some one-time employee costs as we are expanding and our CapEx expansion. You know, we have to recruit more employees coming into the system. So you see, which was not there in the quarter of last year. And then some of the depreciation cost, and we do have some other income costs in terms of our spend that we have incurred due to some of our branding activities and some other expenses that you see. Overall, I must say a very strong performance on the EBIT at 294 crores, and sustaining to keep the EBIT margin at 16.1%, resulting in a profit after tax of 237 crores in the second quarter, which is an 8.2% better than the same than the preceding quarter, and a 5.1% better profit after tax than the same period last year. And moving on, I would like to move to slide number 14 to throw some light on the working capital and our capex spend. As you can see, we did some corrections in our inventory levels in the last quarter of last year, which spilled over into the first quarter as well. And I must say that we have been managing pretty well on our working capital levels. And working capital to sales as a percentage, we are at about 19%, which we believe is the optimum level of working capital that we want to remain at to ensure better serviceability to our customers. In terms of our capex spend, we had said that we have increased our capex to percentage of sales to 6 to 7% levels last quarter. We continue to sustain the same growth, and we continue to invest in our capacity expansion projects even in the second quarter, investing close to 135 crores in quarter two alone. Look at our free cash flow, and what we see is one of our strongest performances in quarter two. Compared to the preceding quarter, you know, we were able to bring in almost 109 crores as compared to 80 crores compared to the same period last year. Quarter one, we were very low. We had a negative performance on the free cash flow. At an year-on-year level, so we have improved by 37% in terms of free cash flow performance. I move to slide number 15 now to just explain a little bit on the indicators. So to say, so to sum it up, I refer to the Q2 2023, which is the first column, and then draw your attention to look at the 6 months 2023 as well. So I have already talked about the Q2 2023 revenue numbers as well as the financial indicators. Let me talk about the 6 month period, and as you can see, the revenue end of half year is 3523 crores as against 3300, which was there last year same period, and which is a clear 6.2% better performance than last year. Talk about our EBITDA. Our EBITDA was 671 crores compared to 636 crores of last year, and the margin, we continue to keep it at 19% as such. On the EBIT, at a half yearly level, 565 crores as against 534 crores with an EBIT margin of 16%, resulting in an earnings before tax of 612 crores compared to 563 crores of last year, with an EBIT with an EBT margin of 17.4%. The profit after tax at a half yearly level, we are at 456.7 crores compared to 432.9 crores, and we sustain a profit after tax margin of 13%. As I said, our capex increase is visible here. At a 6 month period, we have so far invested 253 crores as against 216 crores last year, and I already touched upon our free cash flow performance has been strong. Free cash flow in the system in the second quarter of this year. With this, I would like to now talk a little bit about our journey on ESG, and I move to slide number 17, wherein we what you see is the sustainability roadmap which we are pursuing, and we have a clear long-term commitment to get carbon neutral, and with clear short-term goals as well. Now, as Schaeffler India, we have taken up 8 targets under sustainability, which are visible on the slide here. So the first target is on energy efficiency, and where we have to get energy efficiency gains at an annualized gain till 2024 at 4 gigawatt hour. And we also want to ensure that we have a entire chain becomes climate neutral by the year 2040. And our suppliers too, our target is to get 90% of the production materials that we source from our suppliers have to be from sustainable processes, and for that effect, we have already completed the self-assessment last year. We will now pursue to take this to the next higher level. In terms of fresh water supply, which is the fourth target that we have, we have taken a target to consistently reduce 20% fresh water supply consumption until 2030 on a year-on-year basis. We have clear targets set out here, and we have projects running to that effect. Talk about renewable energy usage, and our target is to ensure that all our plants use 100% of the power that we buy has to be from renewable sources by the year 2024. We have various projects in terms of power purchasing through renewable sources, renewable generation sources, as well as investing in solar power in our own generation sources, as well as on projects to look at can we try to improve the energy efficiency itself in terms of energy usage in our plants. So these are the projects that we have been pursuing, and we will continue to sustain them. One other important element is the safety of our employees on our manufacturing sites, and clearly there too we have targets where we have set a 10% average annual reduction in our LTIR rates or the accident rates. As we measured by the year 2025, we continue to reduce year on year 10%. Talk about diversity and inclusion, and we believe, you know, we have taken targets here as well in terms of gender diversity, and our target is to get, you know, 8% of our population or employees working to be females by the year 2025. All of this resulting in all the four plants, Schaeffler India plants in India, to become carbon neutral in their production processes by the year 2030. Now that said, I like to move on to the next slide, slide 18, just to throw light on one of the projects under our ESG drive, under the corporate social responsibility, which we had started way back in 2019, and which has now started to deliver significant impact to the society and the community that we operate in. And the project being Jal Sahara, which was a water conservation project, wherein almost close to 180,000 meter cubes of water we have been able to conserve over the last 3 years since the time the project has started. And this project has been now received accolades and recognitions from various agencies and various forums. And three of those I am showing here on the slide here. This is a big matter of pride for us here, that the community and the society that we operate in, we have a responsibility, and we demonstrate that responsibility here. So various bodies, be it the CSR box or be it the CSR journal, or for that matter, even the ASSOCHAM, have all recognized for this Jal Sahara project, and we will continue to sustain this. To draw inspiration from this project, we have now initiated two more water conservation projects. One near Hosur in Tamil Nadu, and the second one near Baroda in Gujarat. Now these two have been just initiated, and hopefully we will see some recognitions coming our way from these projects as well. So I move to slide number 19, and to sum it up, we had a strong performance for the quarter across all the domestic businesses. Yes, our exports moderated a bit in terms of the ongoing Europe situation in Europe and the global demand softening. We also kept our focus on the countermeasures that we operate with in terms of volume gains and also improving the efficiency of our operations to deliver strong earnings quality, which you have seen already. We will continue to keep the focus on investing in our capacity expansions at both our Savli and Hosur plants. And yes, the market and the external environment is pretty volatile and pretty challenging. However, we will remain optimistic, taking judicious decisions to adjust our sales to stay on the course to get to the target so that we deliver the promised value to all our stakeholders. With that, I come to the end of my presentation. Thank you so much.
So shall we open the floor for the Q&A session?
Yes, please.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Vimal Jamnadas Gohil from Alchemy Capital Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on exports. If I were to understand right, given the fact that our entire exports come from the parent entity, which has been focusing on bringing some of the production lines in Europe to India to cater to markets in Asia Pacific and beyond. Now, I understand the macro part, which has been challenging, but the share increase of India itself should have led to some growth. Which has not happened. So if you could highlight what was the issue there. The second question is on the passenger vehicle growth. You highlighted in your presentation that the production growth has been about 10%. Now, if I were to look at our core automotive growth, that has been pretty much in line with that. But given our increase in content per vehicle, our growth should have been slightly higher over there, in because most of our large portion of our automotive is coming from passenger vehicles. And lastly, sir, if you can highlight what is the full year capex that we are looking at, in for CY23, including our expansion at Savli. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mukesh. I'm Satish Patel here. Good morning. Let me take your first and the last question. The first question is related to exports. Now, let me give you a little preface as regards to our export strategy as well as what all we have done for this business. We have this strategy of expanding exports. We are not only having our business exports with Europe or confined to Germany, but all the continents. As part of our strategy, we have significantly grown in exports. If you see our growth in exports for the last year, that is 2022, that was over 40%. If I remember correctly, it could be even higher. Last year, not many product relocations also happened as part of our strategy, and that is continuing. On that level of growth this year, despite the global slowdown of the economy, we have grown in exports for 6 months by about 3%. Now, 3% growth that we have recorded for 2023 half year is on a very high base of 2022. In my opinion, this growth itself is quite satisfactory. However, we have to also keep in mind that global conditions are not favorable. Germany economy is in decline by 0.5% negative. Correct. Western Europe is growing only at 1%. US, the market that we serve, which is North America, is growing at around only 2%. Asia is definitely growing. India is growing significantly, but also, if I look at the Southeast Asia, that is growing close to 3.7-3.8%. And our business exports is in all the continents, and therefore we have been able to record this 3% growth. Just to share with you that our export comes almost 35% exports to Asia, largely to Southeast Asia, 40-45% to Europe, and 10-12% to US and 10-12% to China. Because of this mix, we have been able to also ensure that there is a consistent growth. So there were two significant parts of our strategy. One, focus on localization and relocations, that has been worked quite well. Second, sectorial mix, that is presence in all the continents, that has also been helping us in order to sustain the growth. It is unfortunate that this year we have the economic slowdown, particularly the global economic slowdown, Europe, and therefore there is an impact on our exports. Also, coming back to our strategy of exports, as far as our whatever localization strategy is concerned, that is on track and that is going to further bring sort of some growth in exports. And therefore, we are of the opinion that we are on the right track as far as exports are concerned, and focus on this business is concerned, that also contributes significantly to our performance. And therefore, the strategy is very much intact. Coming to the...
It was on the...
The third question I take first, which is, okay, I think he wanted to know about the CapEx for the full year. For the full year, our plan is to, and this we had announced in the last quarterly call as well as in the previous earnings calls as well, that for the full year, we would have a CapEx outgo of close to 550 crores. So it would be above 500 crores. For the half year, we have already spent over 250 crores. We are on the right track. We have spent for capacity expansion at Savli plant. The new plant, which got inaugurated in June, is fully ready now, and that would start delivering the production. Also for the Hosur, the plant construction has begun, and for other locations, which are the Talegaon for automotive as well as Maneja for industrial business, we are working on the CapEx, we are working on the expansion and also having CapEx there. All connected to that, I also want to highlight one point, that if you see our 6 months growth, we have grown in the operational area, which is the production and capacity expansion, by 10%. Our trading is in decline, but manufacturing is increasing. This also brings a better mix, and that has helped us retaining the profitability. And this has also helped improving the capacity utilization from the level of 79% to over 86-87%. Reflection of all of this is there, that you can see in the quarterly results as well as the half yearly results. Yes, I will hand over to Harsha for the second part of your question related to passenger vehicles.
Yeah. So, Vimal, to explain that there were two parts to the question that you asked, one being on the content per vehicle, and second was our share or our growth with respect to the passenger vehicle sector. Let me put up some data points to validate that. If you were to look at, based on the CM report, look at the first quarter and the second quarter production numbers, you know, the passenger vehicle production numbers were 10% better than the same period last year. And if I were to compare that with the sales that we do, obviously, because our sales and their production is what we need to compare with, if you look at our sales to the passenger vehicles segment, we have also grown by 10%. So we are not lost share anywhere. Let me now give another data point. If you look at the quarter two in isolation, the quarter two, the passenger vehicle production was down 7% lower numbers than the preceding quarter. Whereas our performance, we have remained flat. We have remained at the same level, which means we have sustained our growth, we continue to grow. While that's on the passenger cars, let me draw a little attention on the commercial vehicles. Commercial vehicles, if you look at their production numbers for the first half of the year, it has not grown at all. It's just about 1% growth. Whereas our business in the commercial vehicle space has grown 22%. Clearly validating that our focus and our strategy to look at growing our business in the commercial vehicle space is yielding results. Let's look at now at the tractor, which is another segment. And here again, while the segment production itself was 9% up compared at a half yearly level, our business was up 21%. So all the key numbers, indicators are showing that we are doing pretty well in terms of driving our growth strategy in the auto tech space as well. Coming to the content per vehicle, yes, I did say that for the gasoline engines and whatever small quantity of diesel engines that are being produced in the country today, our content per vehicle remains in the range of 50 euros, which we still continue to keep the numbers. We are better there. We are not lost, or the content per vehicle has not come down. What is helping us here is the improved growth in the commercial vehicle space is where the content per vehicle is much higher, is where we are seeing good successes coming in. So in a nutshell, on the passenger vehicle or the automotive business space, we have posted pretty good numbers compared to what the industry has actually done.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much. I'll join back in the queue. All the best.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Patel from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Sir, in past few years, there have been many acquisitions by the parent company in the industrial space, including that of Avelix and Melior Motion. So do we plan to introduce these products in the domestic market, or those products are already present here?
Okay, thanks for the question, Harshit. And let me take one by one. There were two major acquisitions that was done in our industrial division or industrial business. One was the Melior Motion, which happened 3 years back. This was into high-precision planetary gearboxes, which is going into variety of applications, particularly in high-precision drive applications like robotic arms, be it in the industrial robots or even cobots for that matter, as well as some of the automation industry, where the machine tool industry, which needs these kind of high-precision or ultra-high-precision products. Now, when the acquisition was made, the company was already doing some amount of business in India. They did have a small trading operation. They did not have any manufacturing setup. And by virtue of the acquisition that we have made, we now have integrated the local footprint, whatever it was an office with a sales team. They have been integrated into Schaeffler India's portfolio. And now we have been aggressively driving the growth story for Melior. The same is the case with Avelix. Avelix as a company which was acquired is into linear drives. And this is again focusing on the machine tool industry as well as the packaging goods industry. And we have secured quite a few business wins here as well. And the integration in India, where again they have a trading office with a team, is well underway right now. I must say that the local competence that we have been able to integrate comes with rich experience of the Indian market and the product knowledge and the application knowledge. So we have integrated the entire team which was there by way of these acquisitions into the Schaeffler India team, and now we have taken over the full responsibility. We have a clear strategy now set out for the next 5 years to start to grow these new acquisition businesses. Do I answer your question?
Yes, sir. Understood. Thank you very much for that. Sir, secondly, I wanted to understand our auto aftermarket segment a little better. What percentage of sales of this segment do come from own manufactured products vis-a-vis traded products? I believe wipers, lubrication systems, batteries that you have recently introduced, all these would be traded products. On the other hand, shock absorbers, center joint support, this should be manufactured by us, right?
Yeah, good question, Harshit. And you know, our focus continues and will remain on our own manufactured products because they are the ones which really add true value to the end user as well as to our OEM customers who buy these products by way of the OES route as well. So that said, out of the total business that we do, more than 90% of the business is towards our own manufactured product. Less than 10% would be coming out of the white labeled goods that we do, which are mostly traded. And I guess this equation will continue to remain the way it is because we will continue to invest and focus in capacities as well as in development activities when it comes to our own manufactured products.
Sure. So no plans to set up the batteries manufacturing footprint, right? This will continue to be manufactured by our partners.
For the white label goods, our business model we like to pursue is to work with our strategic partners And we work with them in terms of putting in the quality systems, in terms of validation, in terms of homologation, and we make sure that the products meet the performance standard and the quality standards of Schaeffler. But we will definitely not be manufacturing those products. But we will handhold and work with those suppliers to reach the expectation of the set standards of Schaeffler.
And also, just to add one comment, that our core business, our core product portfolio of bearings, clutches and engine component, we continue to focus on that.
Yeah.
Our white good addition in aftermarket business is actually in order to leverage our own core business
reach
yeah. to the market.
Absolutely.
Because that helps offering the comprehensive products including the kit and the package. As a package we are able to offer to the aftermarket, and that helps us actually growing the core business as well. So white goods definitely enables not only the additional revenue but helps actually driving the overall core business. So that's the also you know, one of the important reasons.
Also, if I may add to what Satish just said, you know, when we hear the voice of the customers, and in this case our distributors, where we have an extensive reach, they do voice that, you know, Schaeffler is a strong brand in the marketplace, and these are products that definitely would be adding more value to the customer, and hence it will be good we offer them a portfolio of products rather than just stick with our own manufactured products.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mukesh Saraf from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the non-auto business. We've noticed in the last few quarters there is the flattening out there, and you did highlight about the weakness in the wind energy business. But now with Savli expansion more or less ready, and I think you had also mentioned about some products there on paper roller side and the spherical roller side, could you give some sense on, are these new markets that you will be now trying to get into with this new production? If you could give some sense of, you know, what could be the opportunity there from these new products that you'll be coming out with at Saudi.
Okay, let me try and, you know, break the question into parts. I already talked about the automotive. You know, we do see some sluggishness. Still, they are not out of the woods when it comes to the chip shortages. So we will continue to, you know, watch, monitor the market and accordingly keep adjusting our tactics to be relevant in the game. Let me talk about wind, since you are the first one to ask a question about wind. What we have seen is in the last four quarters, wind was continuously coming down in terms of the number of equipment that were produced in the country. The Q2 was the first quarter, and that too more so in the month of some of it in May and the rest in June, we saw a strong uptick in terms of production increasing, the numbers going up, which actually has helped the second quarter numbers to go up. If I were to just throw some data here, the second quarter, the number of wind equipments that were produced in the country was 16% higher than the preceding quarter. So there was a strong 16% uptick in terms of demand, and our business to that effect, to the wind sector, was up by 31%. Obviously, the mix was helping us here as well in terms of the products that the customers wanted. So we have been able to, you know, leverage the bottoming out and the turning around. What we are looking forward to is that this growth story of wind continues to sustain. For that, we will have to cautiously monitor for the next few moments to see if this trend will continue.
Sure.
And the last one was about the capacity in Savli, where we are investing in some of these products.
Yes.
Exports as well as for India.
Yeah.
Well. Yes, as I said earlier and during my presentation, the expansion of our Savli project, wherein we are bringing in additional spherical roller bearing lines, we are bringing in taper roller bearing lines, as well as a lot of facilities in terms of heat treatments, grinding and so on. These are primarily focused on the wind, and some of it is on the raw material sector, and the rest is for the railway sector that we are investing in.
So the question was more relating to, are these products that you're currently not catering, I mean segments that you're not catering to with these products, and so it's like a new new market that you're targeting with these products within say wind or railways?
Okay, let me clarify that. We have been catering to these customers by way of our imports, meaning manufactured in the plants outside of India. We were bringing these products into India and offering it to our customers. We have a clear strategy to increase the localization content, meaning that we begin to make those products in India rather than import. And we have already started to see the impact of that. Our own manufacturing content in the second quarter sale has gone up to almost more than 76% already. So clearly, our localization is a key strategy for us, exactly in line with the government's drive of Make in India. So we have a strategy wherein we will continue to bring more and more products to be made in India. And we also export them, plus we feed the Indian market as well. All these days, some of these product lines we were entirely importing, which we now want to make here.
Right. And just one last one, if I may squeeze in. You had mentioned about getting into bearings for electric two-wheelers. If you could give some sense on, is the content here much higher than, say, a regular ICE two-wheeler in terms of the bearing content?
Yeah. Some of the applications within the electric two-wheeler space would need bearings with different engineering specifications, and it depends. Some of them would not change in the specification. Some definitely would change. So bearings that go into high-speed motors obviously would require different performance parameters to be met with. So that said, we have re-engineered our products to fit meet those specifications as well. And accordingly and appropriately as bearings, we have been able to position those which go into the high-performance needs. We will be catering through those new specifications that we have come out with, and some of the businesses we have started to already, you know, acquire. So, nutshell, yes, we have the capabilities, both the engineering capabilities as well as the production capacities to offer such products even in the electric two-wheeler space.
Right, great. Thanks for this. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishi Vora from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to understand how is...
Rishi, sorry, your voice is very faded. Can
you hear me now?
A little better.
Yeah, just wanted to understand what is the current business mix of bearings versus non-bearings for us? As well as within bearings, how much of our revenues is derived from, let's say, wheel and bearings, engine bearings? If you can give any color pertaining to that, that would be helpful. Secondly, any comments on how the railway segment is doing currently? How has ordering been over the last 2-3 quarters, and what are your expectations? And just last question on the electric two-wheeler side. So, let's say if, you are supplying X content to ICE two-wheelers today, once the full transition happens to electric two-wheeler, how will the content be, overall content? Because the number of bearings will be lower in electric two-wheelers, but as you highlighted that, because of high motor, the specs would be different. So if you could give any color around that, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, Rishi, the content as far as our total portfolio is concerned, bearings, we have 60%, so total out of the total product portfolio, bearings consist of 60%, and other components which are engine transmission solutions, particularly clutch business and engine components, consist of 40% of the product portfolio. The second part of your question was within bearings, which types of products we have. Now that is detailing into some 5-6 major segments, and the detail would be provided by our IR head to you later on, because we want not to spend time spelling out each of these segments and how much is the mix. The third part of your question was related to railways, and I could not connect the question, Farsa. So maybe if you can repeat the question.
How is railways and how are we doing it? That was the question.
Okay. So would you like to take
sure.
that?
Yeah. So like we had shared even in the last quarter's investor call, we have secured some wins even on the Vande Bharat trains that are now launched, and we will continue to secure new business wins on the new projects that the Indian Railways is driving at. On the other hand, even the metros, which is fast expanding in the country, we are very strongly positioned there as well. We enjoy a very good market share there. So overall, both put together, our strategy, I just talked about our localization strategy, where the inauguration of the Sabli Hall and the product portfolio that we want to manufacture, one of it is also for the railways. We will continue to build on it. So rightfully, we will be localizing a lot of parts for the railways, which have been missing for some time. We will continue to now do that more and more. And certainly, we believe that all the future projects that the Indian Railways is aggressively driving, we will be able to be a strong contender to play the game accordingly there as well.
Yeah, Rishi.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Jain from Enam AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you give some color on the 2-in-1 clutch which you developed for EV OEM? What is the status of that, and is it a domestic OEM or a export OEM?
Deepak, unfortunately, I will not be able to share those details. This is a confidential project. Pardon me for that, but yes, it's an important project for us, but I would not like to go into the details of the project at this point in time.
So in the last call, you said that it's a 300 million euro opportunity over 7-year period, and commissioning will start from next year.
Yes. All I want to say is the project is well on track, correct? And we have a clear localization plan, yes. And things are working as planned, according to plan. So as of now, that's the way it is. But we are on track.
And when we announced also the strategy, we did mention that as far as the transitioning to e-mobility in India is concerned, we would be ready early enough.
Yeah.
And we are happy to say that we are ready early enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Second is on this plant relocation, just some clarification. Does it bring incremental revenues also, or it help margins?
It's all inclusive, actually.
It's all inclusive.
The competence on the manufacturing, it brings competence on the technology, engineering, and also brings thereby revenue as well as the overall profitability. Well, localization is always favorable from the cost point of view. In addition to that, also from customer service level point of view, because when you are manufacturing or having the localization, you have the better supply chain, you have better network, and that helps increasing the competence in all respect. So certainly it helps revenue, but it also helps in terms of the overall performance.
Yeah, Deepak, it goes without saying that if it's in our strategy, obviously our strategy is to grow profitably. So it cannot be just grow, it has to be profitable as well.
Okay, sir. So lastly, any update on PLI?
Yeah, PLI, as we already announced, that we have been one of the 75 number of applicants who got selected out of over 200 applicants. So we are already selected as a component champion for PLI scheme. Currently, the scheme is at the product approval level, and there is a process which is very robust that government has set to approve the products and also to approve the entire process application. That is at that stage, and it is going on. So considering the timeline, it seems that next few months there would be that step completed, and thereafter we will have the accordingly the further steps with regard to availment of the incentives would begin.
Okay, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Pramod Amte from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So the first question is with regards to the localization drive which you have taken up. If you have to look 3 years down the line, what this mix will look like, imports versus local? Any thoughts on the same?
Yeah, so currently we have about 75% domestic production and 25% imports. And this was actually 70-30 in the past. That has reached to a level of 75-25. Our localization drive continues, and that is going to reach to a level of 79-80%. So the mix also would improve to a level of 80-20. That's the strategy. We are on track currently. Yeah, there can be slight adjustment to that either side. But overall, I would say we are on track and working on the localization. So far, we have been able to successfully localize whatever projects and the products that we had defined in the strategy. And we are going to continue that focus also in the future.
Also, I think another data point is if one were to look at Q2 of last year, you know, our own manufacturing was about 74.5%,
right,
which today is at 76.5%. So literally we have increased our own manufacture, which clearly points to the localization initiative.
Okay. And the second question is with regard to your participation in the EV momentum. You did talk about two-wheelers and I think the earlier conferences on the cars. Anything on the bus electrification you guys are working on, or you already won the orders? Because that also seems to be a government focus to push through. And which areas will that be?
Yeah, good question, Pramod. Right now we are focusing on the passenger vehicles, and that's where our focus is. We already have secured one business win, which we want to execute. While we are evaluating and studying, the commercial vehicles require some different technologies when it comes to power electronics and so on, which as Schaeffler we are still missing in our portfolio. So nothing to stop us from going forward in the years to come. Certainly I don't see a reason why we cannot play the game in the commercial vehicle space as well.
And a related question is, since you talked about this passenger vehicle win, will it have an influence on what you will import versus locally manufacture, and what is the extent as you go forward? Is there a, you feel India has a good capability to do a substantial part local manufacturing for this?
Logically, the right thing to do would be to manufacture in India. Now that we, as you heard Satish talk about, that we are one of the 75 champions that have been selected under the PLI scheme. So obviously it is logically right that we make the entire product here. But then what we believe needs to be developed and should be here as well is the supplier base has to be there in place. The supply channels have to be in place, which is something we are working upon. So we will definitely, move in phases and in stages to start to first import the product, but then start to localize in India as we go forward. That's clearly in our plan.
Thanks about this.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we would request all the participants to limit their questions to one per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suraj Sonalkar from Asian Market. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, I had a question particular to your wind business. You have given 16% growth for the market and 31% for Schaeffler India. Similarly, is there any number for the growth in the international market for us?
No, I didn't get the question when you say international. Is it wind international you're talking about?
Like the export, we do...
No, let me clarify then. Our customers, they manufacture the wind turbines and they export it out of India. So if you look at the number of wind turbines produced in the country, more than 80 to 85% of the production of our customers is exported. Okay, we only supply to them within India. We do not export directly to the wind. So in a way, by default, our products are already in the export market through our customer's product. I hope I'm clear.
Okay. Continuing to this, I just wanted to understand, in the European wind market, players like GE, Vestas, and Gamesa, they have reported failure of turbines recently in last 1 year, and there are significant warranty claims associated with that, particular to the component side. So, in any way, are we impacted through that? Because we are a big supplier of bearings and that.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Suraj. And let me clarify that at this point in time, the investigations are ongoing, but very clearly, it has not impacted our business or our products in any which way so far. So that's a good thing, positive thing, that our products have not failed. They've been doing well. Believe it has to do with some other supplier. We don't know which one is that yet.
Okay. Does it mean that there might be higher opportunity for us in terms of replacement of those quality?
Well, I guess that decision is up to the customer to make. Would he want to source it from alternate suppliers, or would he go back to the same supplier to do a correction? The traditional normal approach would be for them to go back to the same source, but we never know. But we are ready. If the opportunity comes, we will be ready.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from us.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabyasachi Mukherjee from Bajaj Finserv AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions from my side.
Mr. Mukherjee, can you speak up a little bit? We can't hear you.
Hello.
Better.
Yeah. So, first question is, I understand the mix between bearings and the non-bearings, such as clutches and engine components. So, my question is, what component of your business is probably at a risk from the, technology disruption in terms of the electric vehicle? Is it 40%, entire 40% of the business? And if yes, how are you trying to kind of, mitigate the risk going ahead?
Mr. Mukherjee, it's a good question. Yes, as you said, the 40% of the products that we make are going into the engine and transmission application as well. And there is what is also called as chassis application. So if I can clarify, the first and foremost, the chassis products, definitely they still continue to be there. There's no impact for the chassis application products that we make. Again, coming into the engine products, yes, there are some products which would get phased out as and when the adoption of the electric vehicle technology comes in more and more. But when we look at the study reports, the research papers, India is still a long way. What do I mean by that? By the year 2030-31, out of the, if you were to take out of 100 vehicles produced, the passenger vehicles produced, close to 80 out of the 100 would still be using gasoline engines. So it's still 15 to 20% adoption rate. That's one data point. The second data point is when you look at the number of absolute number of vehicles produced in the gasoline, it is not going to go down. It is going to remain flattish because there is obviously some organic growth happening. However, we do not rule out the possibility of the electric vehicle adoption increasing provided a legislation change happens. In India, a lot of things is driven by legislation changes, and if that were to happen, then yes, obviously, there is going to be some change, and that certainly would start to impact in terms of lower production numbers for us, for those products which go into the gasoline engines. However, we are also actively working already on or electric e-axle projects with one customer, and now we have a few more RFQs which we are working on. This is exactly in line to secure the future that we are investing in. Another data point, if I can put on the table, is when you look at the value of product, the so-called content per vehicle, as I talked about earlier, in the gasoline engine, it's ranging average of about 50 euros per vehicle. If I were to apply the same formula to an electric vehicle, the content per vehicle is dramatically higher for us. So it is, any which way we look at it, it is a win for us. Not to mention that the vehicles, gasoline engine vehicles that are produced are still going to be on the roads. They are not going to be taken away. There's still going to be some aftermarket demand, or play in the automotive aftermarket is going to help us there. So it is not like we are going to shut down the productions, and what do we do with the manufacturing capacities? Obviously, we need to still continue to feed the requirement because, as we see, India still is a slow adapter when it comes to the EV technology.
Understood, sir. Just a follow-up to that. What does it has impact on the, you know, margin, the margin implications of that? Because, you know, as far as I believe, your bearing, components will have a higher gross margin, whereas the engine components and the chassis will have a lower gross margin. And as we move from more, 75% to probably 80% localization levels, that is also will help improve our gross margins. But from a mixed angle, bearing versus non-bearing, depending on the, EV portfolio, how does it impact the margins?
Yeah, in fact, it's a very good question, but very difficult to answer
at this point of time. Correct.
Because we are still at the infant stage of e-mobility, right, in India. And to already envisage what could be the level of profitability, I think that's very difficult to answer. But coming to your portion of the question where you mention about the mix, it is not like that certain business in our today's portfolio, which is engine, chassis and bearings, amongst them there are significant margin variations.
Yeah.
Yes, within the products, yes, but not at the sector, at the division level. So I do not think that even if we go to transitioning to e-mobility, that would create significant change in the mix, be it positive or adverse or negative, so it is unlikely from the mix point of view. But from the sheer margin point of view on e-mobility, it's very early to comment. Additionally, I want to also provide a comment that, in order for companies to switch to e-mobility, lot of initiatives are undertaken by the government. One of them is PLI. And therefore, I always comment that PLI incentive or PLI benefit is not for earning profit or making money. It is actually to support transitioning to e-mobility so that investments are actually fast-tracked, and also other sort of activities are undertaken so that your break-even point becomes faster. So such initiatives are also going to help transitioning e-mobility, even if from the profitability point of view e-mobility become challenging in the initial phase of the transition.
Sure, sir. One more question, sir, if I may can squeeze. So on the debate between in-house manufacturing and outsourcing of the key components of a bearing, and like cages or the rings or something else, what's your thoughts and what has been the trend for the last 5 years? Do you see more outsourcing of some of the not so non-critical components going ahead?
I would say, more than calling it non-critical, I would put it this way, Mukherjee, that as the capability to produce critical components in India of more and more suppliers are becoming capable, I see no reason why we should not be modifying the business model to source component level products and add more value in terms of the product and solution by way of digitalization, by way of embedded technologies. So that's where every big organization would move in that direction. In the past, you know, all of us were constrained that the capability of the suppliers was upcoming. But now I guess that's maturing as it matures, and our supplier capabilities, they can make more and more precision engineering products at a component or within a bearing at a component level. Well, that's the natural evolution of the business. And I guess that's what we see happening in India as well.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this would be the last question for today, which is from the line of Saif Saurabh Kuchar from ICICI Prudential Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So on the last con call, you had highlighted about our export order book position, which was around 1 year of orders, and your target to reach around 20% of revenue from exports, right? So any update on the same in terms of export order book now, what it stands at, and target to achieve this 20%?
Yeah, well, we might have just made a remark about a particular percent, but let me tell you, we can't say 20% or particular percent. What we can say is that we have this strategy of growing exports in two parts. One is the product and second is the geography. And on both front we are working. That's what I specifically mentioned in my initial, you know, there was one initial question on exports and I had commented about both the aspects. And with that strategy, we are quite confident that we would be growing also in the mixed perspective. In fact, last year we had already reached to a level of almost 17%. It is only because of these global economic conditions and particularly conditions in Europe whereby the demand from the end market itself is impacted globally, and therefore our exports are impacted. So hopefully this is not going to last long. 2024, I think the Europe economy is also going to grow on a positive side, and that would help further reinstating the orders for those demands, new demands, and thereby we should be able to be again on track also on the mix point of view, from the mix point of view.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as due to time constraint, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Gauri Kanekar for closing comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you everyone for joining us today. If you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to me at gauri.kanekar@shaffler.com. We now conclude the call. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, members of management. On behalf of Schaeffler India Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.